Well, good early morning. After the last few weeks, I am the pastor. Appreciate Brother Suresh filling in for me two Sundays, and then Brother Scott last week, our missionary to Anchorage, Alaska, and helping me out through this also, and giving you a word from someone different, a little perspective that always helps us grow. When you hear a different voice, different preacher, different angle sometimes from God's Word, it brings out so much richness and truth to us. As we look at the Christmas season, today we talk about God being with us in Christ Jesus. What a tremendous, tremendous plan God had for His world and His earth and His people all along to redeem us back to Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. That's what Christmas represents, is really a love letter to us that He wanted to be with us. He wanted to abide with us. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. Matthew, chapter 1. Matthew 1, verse 18 through 25. So let me encourage you that I know that a lot of people are not feeling well, and sometimes if we have our mask on, we can't articulate an amen or a hallelujah every now and then, but it feels good and it seems good is when we do some church talk. You know what church talk means? That's not passing the notes like in the old days, Brother Carroll. It's not like that. You know, church talk means that we're giving some amens back and some hallelujahs and praise God, because we're here together worshiping God. That's not only hearing His message, it's not only singing praises, is that God is meaning something, is speaking to you about something, and that you say, yes, I get it. That's what we want to hear, is some church talk. The last 3 weeks, I'm sitting on my phone watching Brother Suresh, and I'm trying to type amen and praise the Lord and hallelujah, and that's right, that's some truth. And it's like, that's what we need more of, is that we interact in our worship services. Matthew chapter 1. We had to title this message, it would be Christmas, God dwelling among us. Remember John chapter 1 verse 14 says the word, John chapter 1 verse 1 says the word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. I'm sorry, it is verse 14. We have seen His glory and the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. We see John Rice said it this way. He says, you can never truly enjoy Christmas until you look up into the Father's face and tell Him you have received His Christmas gift, that God wanted to commune with us. God really wanted to be with you, and God really wanted to be with me. God wants to have a close relationship with us. Matthew chapter 1 says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When His mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with a child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Now all of this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. It says, behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. Father God, this morning as we come before you with a very familiar story out of your word, the Christmas story. God, how beautiful it is that you loved us so much that you want to dwell with us. How beautiful it is, God, that you did not allow us to live in our sin and die in our sin, but you intervened and you interrupted all of creation and did the impossible. You came to live with us in Jesus Christ. God, may we take this away today from this message, is that you truly do want to live personally in our own lives, that you want to know us inside and out, and you want us to know you. God, be with us through this message. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. So the Christmas story reminds us of the miracle of God becoming human to bring salvation to all who in humility of repentance of sin believe in him as Savior. Remember, Christmas is God's way of initiating a relationship with people. It's God's way of initiating a relationship with you and with me. That Christmas story. So it's not just about a tree and lights and presents and all the traditions that we as a family and as a nation put around Christmas, but it's really God's idea. Christmas was always God's idea. It was God's idea to bring himself through his son to us, so to save us from our sin. God had a better plan. He not only wanted to dwell with us on earth, he wants to dwell with us for all eternity. So a few thoughts from this passage of Scripture. The first one is this, that Christmas reminds us of the faithfulness of God the Father. Christmas reminds us that God is faithful. God is always faithful to his word. Listen, he may not do what we want him to do, but he's always faithful to his promises. He's always faithful to his word. When he gave a promise, when he gave a prophecy, you better believe he fulfilled that prophecy. He fulfilled his word. So Christmas proves that God is always faithful to his word in bringing his providence into fulfillment. We see in verse 18, it says, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. See, Christmas was not a secondary thought about God. God didn't create the earth, and then man blew it, man sinned, and caught God off guard. So, okay, what is plan B? What do I do now? Christmas, Jesus, the cross was always God's plan. That's the sovereignty of God. God sees all of creation in one panoramic view. He didn't have a plan A, plan B, plan C. It's always been plan A, and it'll always be plan A. Whatever God has planned will take place. It will come to pass. God always is faithful to bring his providential plan into reality. God's word is certain and sure because it's based on his infallible and immutable. Immutable is a big word meaning unchanging character. God is the same God that he was billions and billions and billions and years ago. And he'll be the same God for all eternity. The Christmas story was recorded in the books of Matthew and Luke in the Gospels. But I dare say that the Christmas story is peppered in every verse of every book, of every chapter in God's Word. It's the same story. It's the same story, love story that God has for us sprinkled through all Scripture. Matter of fact, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7 in the Old Testament tells us, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government would be on his shoulders, and he would be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. Oh, what a beautiful picture of who Jesus Christ is. Matter of fact, some of this prophecy is still to be fulfilled when Christ returns. See, God is always faithful, even when we do not understand or see him working out his plan. Sometimes when things happen in our life, we wonder where God's at. Right now, in our world, and it seems to be so much turmoil, here we are in a pandemic 9 months later. Where's God at? Still on his throne. He's still carrying us through this. Believe me, there have been many in our church who've had COVID-19, including your pastor and his wife and a son. And I look across, I see others who have had it. It's not anything to play with, believe me. But God has always been good to us. We've had church members who have been hospitalized. You know what? They come out closer to God and praising God. God will even use a tragedy. God will even use the most difficult circumstances we go through to hold us close. Because God is faithful to us. He always wants this closeness, this relationship with his people. See, God, time does not affect God's faithfulness. He's always right on time to bring his promises to reality. God is right on time, even when we think he's late, even when we wish he'd have been here a month ago or 6 months ago. God is on time with his word. See, the more time we share with God, we begin to understand his faithfulness more to us, to his word. When tragedy visits our lives or the lives of our families and neighbors, we wonder why God allowed the incident to occur, but remember, God does not tell us that we will not be victimized by decisions of others or victimized by the things in this world. But he does give us a promise in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. He says, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? What a beautiful promise that Jesus is with us no matter what. Christmas demonstrates God's faithfulness to his promises, which in turn inspires our confidence that God will always be faithful with the goodness of his will in his creation for his eternal plan that we are a part of. Oh, the second thing we see from this passage is not only God faithful, but Christmas reminds us that God's forgiveness of our sins. That Christmas is a reminder to us that God is faithful to his word. Oh, and he's forgiving for our sins. My goodness, don't we need forgiveness and grace today? It's amazing how God's grace works, that we can both be sinner and justified at the same time. That we can be a sinner and justified in Christ Jesus at the same time. God's grace. See, Jesus is God's investment of himself to live in this sin-cursed world as the only sacrifice to pay for our sins. Matthew 1 verse 21 says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Centuries before Jesus was born, the Jewish people used a sacrificial system of certain animals that substituted as a foreshadowing of the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. Jesus came to be born. He lived a sinless life, died a cruel cross, not to cover sins like that old sacrificial system did, but to wash away sins for all eternity. God says, I remember their sins no more as far as the east is from the west. God does this in Christ Jesus. He washes away our sin. Many in the Old Testament days abused this religious system of rituals of sacrifice because they were unchanged. I see that even today. There are a lot of people who want the grace of God, but they trample over the grace of God because there's never any change in their life. There's never progress in their life to be more like Christ. They sin, they feel guilty, they repent, but there's no change. There's no progress in growth. There's no maturity. See, at just the right time, Jesus was born. His birth signified the end of the old covenant with its animal sacrifices, and God made a new covenant with humanity in Christ Jesus. Receiving Jesus as your Savior brings forgiveness of sin, adoption into the family of God, justification with the perfect law of God, and being made righteous, in other words, right standing with God through Christ Jesus. Not because of our own righteousness, but because we take on the righteousness of Christ in our life. That when God sees us, He sees you, He sees me, He sees Jesus and His righteousness poured on our life. That's why it's so important to live the life. That's why it's so important to embrace Christ as our Savior. Because it's His righteousness that counts us righteous before God. St. Augustine said it this way: God has promised forgiveness to your repentance, but He has not promised tomorrow for your procrastination. See, today is the day of salvation. Today is the forgiveness of sins. We're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised the end of this service. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8 and 9 tells us, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. God just immerses us in His grace, gives us the gift of faith, and through that faith we respond to God in repentance of all the sin in our life. What a beautiful picture of God's grace in our life, working by the power of the Holy Spirit, always, always cleaning our lives up. That's that big word Scott used last week. It's called sanctification. It's a constant cleaning from the day that we come to know Christ as Savior to the day that we leave this life. So we're to give the honor and privilege. We are given the honor and privilege and right to trust on the promises of God. We can enjoy the presence of God and worship Him with a pure heart and a clear conscience because He's forgiven us. He's faithful and He's forgiven us of our sin. The third thing we can see from this passage of Scripture is that Christmas reminds us that God desires fellowship with us. That God actually likes you. Sometimes we don't like ourselves very much. Sometimes we don't like what we do and what we say. And you know, the biggest liar in your life is the person in the mirror. Because we lie to ourselves all the time. We tell ourselves all sorts of stuff. And sometimes we get down on ourselves. Sometimes we feel very unworthy. Sometimes other people make us feel unworthy. Or have said things that just kind of mash us down. But God actually wants to fellowship with us. Listen, for me, as a sinner saved by grace, and for you as a sinner saved by grace, to know that God actually wants to fellowship with us is mind-boggling. Friends will walk away from us. Sometimes family members will walk away from us. Sometimes it's a spouse that walks away from us. Sometimes it's our children that walk away from us. But God never will. He wants fellowship with us. Christmas was God's idea to reach out to form a relationship with each person who accepts Christ Jesus as Savior. God is relational. All of God's Word talks about relationship. It's God wanting relationship with people who love Him. See, God is relational and personal. He desires to be close to us. He wants to know each of us individually and intimately. Well, God is sovereign. He knows all about us already. Yeah. But there's nothing like hearing it from us. There's nothing like us spending time with God, sharing our thoughts with Him, sharing our desires with Him, speaking to Him like a friend. You see, verse 23 says, the virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. The title Emmanuel, God with us, is symbolic of the true desire of God to hold us close and to commune with us. See, God was not interested in the product of our religion. He was interested in the purity of our hearts. God doesn't want just a bunch of religious ceremonies. That's what's troubling about the church today is we're so concerned about the external that we forget that God is really not interested in the external. God is interested in the internal. We have so much focus on pomp and circumstance. Does it feel like church? We get so caught up in what the church looks like. Does it look like a church? Does it have a steeple? Does it have the stained glass? Does it have the pews? Does it have... Why are we so concerned about that when God's not? Have we forgotten that God is a relational God, that He wants this to be purified? God doesn't really care if we worship under a tree. He's not all about all the external things that just make us feel better about ourselves. He's interested in what's really going on the inside to transform us to be more like Him, to get to know Him. God desires a progress of growth in our faith in Him. Our fellowship with Him really means this. The first thing would be that we are a friend of God. Our fellowship with God means that we are a friend of God. John 15:15 says this out of the English Standard Version, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing. But I call you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I've made known to you." See, through Jesus, we are friends of God. God no longer sees the hostility that sin has caused. He no longer sees that in you, Christian. He sees friend, because He sees the righteousness of Christ in you. See, the best way to get to know friends is to spend time with them and to communicate with them. God has entrusted a sacred relationship between us and Himself. And each believer has this sacred relationship. And He's entrusted the responsibility of being His witnesses on all the earth. God desires for us to express to Him our deepest thoughts and desires and emotion. God wants us to share who we are with Him. He loves everything about His children. Listen, you love your children. Even in our imperfect way, we love our children. Even in their imperfection, we love our children. Perfect God loves His children purer and higher than we could ever imagine. Purer and higher, because when He sees you, He sees Christ. And He wants to know you because He created you uniquely and individually. He wants to know you. And the love that He has for you is higher than any love we could have for our own children or grandchildren. We also see from this is that we're also family to God. John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13 says, "But to all who believe in Him and accepted Him, He gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God." Listen, as a church, we celebrate with God this fellowship that we have. We are friends with God. We are His children. We are His family through Christ Jesus. See, this relationship God with God as His children connects with us to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. As we gather and worship our Savior, He abides with us. We share His presence. God chooses to interrupt our gatherings and fill us with the Holy Spirit. What's amazing is that when we come together, we're not just coming together to sing some songs and hear a little message and go home. No, we're here communing with God. Listen, if you come here and you sit in a pew or sit in a chair and all you get is a few songs and a little message and you walk out, you've missed it. Two or more gathered in my name, God says, I'm there also. See, God wants to commune with us in worship. But if we're not worshiping, it's real hard. And worship is not just about music. You know what music does? It softens our old hardened heart. It kind of gets us focused from the world outside. It gets us focused off of the issues and the problems going on in our family. And it softens his heart for God's word to come as like a plow and bust right in the middle of our soul and plant the seed that God has. Listen, that's exciting. That's what I love about coming together is I know I come with a heart of expectation. I come with a heart to know that God is doing something. I may not see it. I may not know what he's doing, but I know he's up to something. If you don't come to church with a heart of expectation, why not? You're just going through religious ceremonies. And God wants to commune with you. He wants to fellowship with you. Why? Because you're his child. You're his family. Vance Havner said, Christmas is based on an exchange of gifts. The gift of God to man. His unspeakable gift of his son. And the gift of man to God. When we present our bodies as a living sacrifice to him. Are you living in relationship to God through his son Christ Jesus? Are you living as a family member of God Almighty? The fourth thing, and I'm closing, is that Christmas reminds us that we are blessed by the favor of God. God is faithful always. He wants to fellowship with us. We're part of his family. He forgives us of our sins. And yes, we're in his favor. We have God's favor upon us. See, the elect of God have not earned merited divine favor with God. God chooses to pour out his blessings and his desires to bring us closer to him at his will, not ours. See, John 15:16, Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. See, as God's children, we're in his favor. Christmas is God extending his love and favor to all who will by faith and repentance believe him. Luke chapter 2 verse 14 records the words of the angel announcing the birth of Jesus. It says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. We're in God's favor for salvation. There's nothing that you can do to gain more of God's favor, and there's nothing you can do to gain less of God's favor. You're in God's favor because you're in Christ. God shows his favor upon you. Even through the difficulties in life, God still shows favor upon you because you're his child. Because he's faithful, he's good. No matter what happens in your life, God's word tells us that he can do and will do something great through it. That's the favor of God. The rest of the world can't say that. Those without Christ can't say that God would do something great even through my tragedy. But as believers, we can say that. That's the favor of God upon our life. So as we commune with God, listen, we can only begin to sense the magnitude and depth and expanse of God's grace and mercy toward us, showing favor to us, abiding in God's favor. Listen, it doesn't dismiss the troubles of life from invading our peace. However, God's favor does bring good from those troubles and tragedies. As we celebrate Christmas this year, I'm going to be honest, it doesn't feel like Christmas. Being quarantined for about a month now, we have our tree up, nothing on it. We put it together yesterday. There's not a piece of decoration in our house yet. Doesn't feel like Christmas. If we're looking for the external. But see, the internal is this. Is that for you and for me as believers, Christmas is every day. Because that's that love relationship of God dwelling with us. Believer, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. You have God dwelling in you. It's Christmas for us every day. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365. That's Christmas for us. Whether there's a tree up, whether there's tinsel, whether there's a light, whether there's a Christmas ball, whether there's a gift, it doesn't matter. All that matters is this. That the God of heaven who created all loved us so much that he came to dwell with us as Jesus Christ. He didn't do away with his deity. He added humanity to his deity. 100% God, 100% man. So that he could dwell with you every day. That's the favor that you have with the Almighty. Do you know Jesus as your Savior today? Is Christmas just another holiday for you? Do you just feel Christmassy when you see all the lights and stuff? Or do you sense this very abiding presence in your life? That's the relationship God wants with us. Let's pray together. Father God, today we thank you so much for your great love. God, we thank you so much for Jesus Christ that you sent. As we celebrate Christmas as a church and as a country, believers around the world celebrating the birth of our Savior. Lord, may we always remember it's not about what's going on the outside, but God, what you're doing on the inside of us. That's our relationship. That's what you want to do inside of us. Transform us, change us constantly to be more like you. Thank you for your faithfulness to your promises. Thank you for the forgiveness of our sins. Thank you for the fellowship that you want to have with us, God. And praise you for the favor that you have upon us in Christ Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.